I'm going to sing you a little bit of a lyric here from the Old Testament, and then you can sing it with me, but it's going to sound like this. Could it be that we are called for such a time as this? Second half. Could it be that we are called for such a time as this? Let's sing that together. Here we go. Could it be that we are called for such a time as this? We can snap too. Could it be that we are called, yeah, for such a time as this? You guys keep it going, keep it going. You are, here we go. Could it be that you are called for such a time as this? Yeah. Could it be that you are called for such a time as this? You are. Could it be that you are called for such a time as this? Could it be that you are called for such a time as this? All right, let's bump it up. Give me one of these. I am.
Could it be that I am called for such a time as this? Could it be that I am called for such a time as this?
I am.
Could it be that I am called for such a time as this? Could it be that I am called for such a time as this?
All right, this is where we hear the viola. Okay, now let's go back to snapping. And the band will be quiet and you guys can do the hum.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Revive. Let's all just stand up and greet those around you, and we'll be going in a second.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jonathan Runman, and I am your neighbor to the north. I live up the highway in Edina, Minnesota, and I've been to Gustavus a couple times for weddings, but I've never been here during the school year. And so it's wonderful to be with you as your musical guest today. And it's been super fun to get to know your musicians and some of your professors and your pastors. And so I'm really glad to be with you today. And I'm going to guide you through some musical stuff for our service this morning. And the opening hymn is an ancient part of the liturgy called the Gloria, or the Hymn of Praise. And for this song, we're going to learn it just verbally, so you don't need to look at any printed material. And so the deal is, with this particular song, there are three verses: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when those verses come around, we're going to do it like an echo, where I sing to you, and you sing back to me. And then the chorus, we will sing together. So let's learn the words to the chorus. It's like this: Glory in the highest. Glory be to God. Glory in the highest. And peace to all the earth. Excellent. So we'll sing that part together. And let me do it for you one time so you learn how it goes. And then watch me for the echo on the chorus. Sounds like this.
Chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, What more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Holy wisdom, holy word. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to begin with a brief rendition of what I like to call the typical gusty greeting. How are you? I might say to you as we pass on the sidewalk, to which you would probably respond, I'm great. How are you? And then I would conclude our interaction with a cursory, I'm great too. The end. We might see each other every day in class, or we might never have met before. It doesn't matter, because the script is always the same, and it's always unfailingly cheerful. When I was a first year, I loved the gusty greeting. It made me feel like I, a lowly first year from Peoria, Illinois, who had never spent more than 48 hours in Minnesota before arriving for orientation weekend, was truly welcome here. You might say that it made me feel like I really was loved by all of my gusty neighbors, just as Jesus implores us to do in this passage from the Gospel of Matthew. That feeling is a wonderful thing. I remember going home for Christmas break that year and taking a trip to the Walgreens by my house to buy wrapping paper or something or other. And no one greeted my mom and I at the door, and our cashier just said, thank you, as we walked away. I informed my mother, with what I'm sure was an air of great superiority, that had we been in Minnesota, every employee who passed us would have smiled, asked how our day was going, and probably made some sort of comment about the weather. Even if it was snowing, they probably would have said it was a nice day. Had we been in Minnesota, I thought, we would have felt that neighborly love much more strongly. Nowadays, I find that the gusty greeting has become ingrained in me, as I'm sure it has in many of you. It's an integral part of being a gusty. It's undeniably an important part of our campus culture, and I love that about our campus. It's what drove me to leave Peoria and venture here to the hinterlands of Minnesota for my undergraduate education. However, I sometimes feel that the gusty greeting has become so incredibly automatic that it's lost most, if not all, of its meaning. On the surface, it sounds like we are loving our neighbor and doing as God laid out in his commandment and as Jesus implores us to do here in this gospel, according to Matthew. But so often, it can feel hollow. The words, so kind and empathetic, feel empty, because most of the time, if I'm being honest with myself, I'm not really interested in how that other person is really doing, and I'm not really interested in telling them how I'm doing either. I say, I'm great, even if I'm internally seething because I missed the wontons at the cafeteria that day, or is stressed out because I have mountains of homework to do. I don't want to burden the person I'm talking to in that brief interaction with my unhappiness, and they don't want to burden me with theirs. Yet, we exchange this ritualistic gusty greeting because it's become a second nature. The silver lining in this is that we are not alone in our failure to give our neighbors the love they deserve. In this passage, Jesus tells us, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Now, the handy notes in my New Revised Standard Version of the Bible tell me that tax collectors were regarded as, quote, unclean Roman collaborators, unquote, and that the word Gentiles here has a negative connotation. So Jesus seems to be telling his followers that they aren't really any better at loving their neighbors than anyone else, even the people they don't like very much or who don't share their faith tradition. I see this as a reminder of the imperfection that makes us human. Even when we strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, sometimes we're just not as great at it as we'd like to be. Jesus' followers faced this problem 2 millennia ago, and we face it today every time when we invoke the gusty greeting, when our hearts are full of stress instead of love. Yet, just as Jesus implores us to do in this passage, I think we can do better. I think we can aim to more perfectly embody the ideal of neighborly love. I'd like to propose an alternate version of the gusty greeting, one that draws on my own faith tradition as a Unitarian Universalist, and that I think will make our campus even more loving and even more lovable than it already is. What's a Unitarian Universalist, you might ask? Well, that's kind of complicated, because we do not fit into one box very easily, or at all. Suffice it to say that we have no set creed, yet we all affirm a set of 7 principles, the first and foremost being the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. We have this thing called Youth Conference, or CON, as we call it for short, that's for high school students, and it's essentially a gigantic lock-in consisting of youth groups from churches all over the region. The last night of every CON, we do this ceremony called Unconditional Love. Half of the people stand in a wide open space, usually the sanctuary or the fellowship hall of whichever church is hosting CON that season, and they close their eyes. The room is always lit by candlelight, and it's completely silent. The other half of the participants walk quietly around the room and hug people. You hug people you know and people you don't know. And I'm not talking cursory one-armed hugs. I'm talking hugs that last for several seconds, or sometimes more. Then the two groups switch, and you repeat the process. The amazing thing about this is that you really do feel loved unconditionally. Emerging from that quiet, reverent, loving space, you feel something that's really hard to describe, but that I think I might name as, quite simply, peace. I always had homework to be thinking about, and dance practice awaiting me back at school on Monday morning, and a million other things to worry about. But unconditional love made me forget all of that, if only for an hour. I felt surrounded by the love of my fellow humans, a neighborly love as perfect as I can imagine it. So I would like to challenge you, fellow Gusties, next time you find yourself exchanging a gusty greeting that echoes with emptiness, pause for a moment and consider giving that person a hug instead. Ask first, of course, because consent is always important. But give someone a hug and fill that hug with love, and I think you'll find it renews you as much as it renews them. Amen.
Our next song is in your cranberry hymnal. So you can take the book and turn with us to page number 252 in the big numbers. Did you notice it snowed yesterday for the first time? So I thought we should sing Here Comes the Wintertime song. And it is number 252. And it's a beautiful song, but it's got a tricky melody. So we're going to play it one time with the viola doing the melody so you hear it. And then after you hear it one time, we'll sing. Thank you. each grow older too. The chill sets in a little colder. The verities we knew seem shaken and untrue. When race and class cry out for trees, when sirens call.
Remind us of the ways that we are one this day, and send us forth as agents of your peace. Go in peace to love and serve. Thanks be to God.